You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today, Wednesday, January 9th, 2018. It is day number 720, 720 of the Donald J. Trump presidency. Harassed legally by the special counsel for the last 603 days. This is day 603. So he's had relatively, well, about 100 days of unofficial harassment and then 603 days of official harassment. But that aside, let's take a look at the headlines this morning. Of course, there was a brief address from the Oval Office by President Donald J. Trump yesterday. I found it to be pretty succinct, pretty direct, pretty forthcoming. And, of course, the dueling border speeches leading off the from the initial address to Pelosi and Schumer. When you look at what's taking place on social networking, watching, there's a picture right now being just going viral of Schumer and Pelosi watching the replay. It's just look at their faces. That's all. Look at their faces. Some other headlines. Fact check. Pelosi is incorrect. MS-13 members routinely pose as children at the border. Absolutely correct. MS-13 members routinely pose as minors at the border. That's, and Pelosi, of course, is saying those are not, that's not factually correct. As, and she's getting, of course, a lot of assistance from the Silicon Valley fact checkers, and I use that phrase very loosely. Chuck Schumer in 2009, 630 miles of border fence made our southern border far more secure because it created a significant barrier to illegal immigration. That was Schumer in 2009, 10 years ago. What happened in the last 10 years? You know, folks, I don't have to explain the metamorphosis that has gone on and the reasons behind this. You're certainly more intelligent. If you're listening to this broadcast, you are intelligent enough to understand what's taking place. And then we have angel wife Dawn Witherspoon. With the wall, my husband would still be here. And during the address, well, right before the presidential address, the telecommunications provider Charter Spectrum Cable had a major outage across the United States, conveniently before President Trump began his address. Before speech, left-leaning poll, plurality agree with President Trump that there is a border crisis. And then there are some other headlines, of course. I suppose the biggest one here, you have the Democratic Socialists, Pelosi and Schumer, being reduced to hilarious memes, or at least one meme. I don't know how many people are old enough to remember Ma and Pa Kettle, but that's taking place all across social media. The whole thing with respect to the Democratic Socialist appears to be a train wreck, but don't discount the importance of the pushback against President Trump. And the text, or the context of President Trump's speech, that this is a choice between right and wrong, between justice and injustice. Now, we know, of course, that there was no declaration of a national emergency. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't know how you folks feel about that either, but certainly I can see such a declaration coming. Maybe that when you read President Trump's books and you get to know his businessman tactics and how he approaches issues, look, I would defer to him I would not want, honestly, I would not want to negotiate against President Trump in this area, specifically in this area, simply because I think he's a master negotiator. And I think that there are things that he's got up his sleeve. And maybe there's the issue of the timing, maybe the unused declaration of a national emergency and the threat of usage is perhaps better than actually using it. Remember, if you have a weapon, if you've got a nuclear weapon, and you go just one nuclear weapon, for example, the threat of using it oftentimes is more than the actual use of that weapon, or has more of a impact or leverage, I suspect. So these are some things that are making the rounds, the headlines, and some things to think about. So a couple of things here, and folks, thank you so much for tuning into this show. Thank you for making the Doug Hagmann Radio Show as popular as it is. I appreciate it. Thank you for posting it on your social networking timelines. Of course, it appears at Hagmann Report Live. We do go out over the Globalstar satellite network, as well as Blog Talk Radio. There, you know, most people find it very easy to access BTR, Blog Talk Radio. So you've got multiple options there. You can download it from Spreaker, or you can go to Blog Talk, or just you've got multiple options by way of HagmannReportLive.com. And that also features our primary show, the Hagmann Report, which airs nightly, my show, Joe's show. And right from there is where you can get all of the programming options. And we thank you for bookmarking that. And thanks for sharing this show and our flagship show and Joe Show with others. Thank you so very much. I also want to thank the sponsors to the Hagmann Report, as well as the Doug Hagmann Radio Show. And that includes Noom, N-O-O-M, Noom.com/Hagmann. And that's Noom, Noom.com/Hagmann, and two N's on Hagmann. You know, sticking to a weight loss plan can be hard, especially when you don't know how to handle the thoughts, the triggers, and other obstacles that can sabotage your progress. And, you know, most people who lose weight gain it all back, and especially as we get older. Why? Because most of the weight loss plans just tell you what to do while you're on the plan, not after. Gym memberships, of course, personal trainers, nutritionists, they're very expensive. Well, we've got a solution for you. Noom, Noom.com/Hagmann. Now, this is not a lose weight fast plan, or, well, this is a lose weight for good plan. It's the thinking person's diet. You learn, you don't diet, you recognize and change habits that are blocking your success. And by the way, Noom is an app. It's a program. They don't say that you can't have certain foods, you know, the good stuff. It teaches you about moderation. It teaches you about habits and stuff. And my wife and I both are part of this program, and we have seen great success here over the last couple of months. You've got weight loss in the palm of your hand, literally. It's on your phone, your smartphone, whenever you and wherever you need it. And, you know, we're all strapped for time. But Noom just asks you to commit 10 minutes a day, roughly, to yourself. You don't have to be a celebrity to have your own support team, but you get it with Noom. So, please check out our sponsor, my sponsor, Noom, Noom.com/Hagmann, to start your trial today. Just check it out. That's all I ask you to do. And I guarantee you, even if it's as little as just a few pounds, or if you have if your New Year's resolution is to lose a lot of weight, well, this will do it for you, keeping you healthy. And of course, we've got to prepare for what's coming. And this is a good way. Weight loss, good physical health, right in the palm of your hand. Noom.com/Hagmann. All right. And again, thank you so much for supporting our sponsors, my sponsors, our sponsors together. And thanks for all you do in supporting us in this. Now, let's talk. Just recap from yesterday's program. Let's talk about the southern border, because there's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of facts out there that are, that need to be told, and people need to have these facts. Simply stated, In fiscal year 2018, well, first of all, let's recognize the fact that the southern border situation has changed. And one could argue, and I think one can recognize the fact that we do have a national emergency there, but it's a manufactured crisis. It's a crisis that has been constructed by the globalists, by the international globalists. And I think it's also important to recognize that this is part of the attempted attack and takedown of President Trump and, of course, the reformatting of the United States. Reformatting, of course, is my word for the, tearing it down and building it back up of the United States in the model of a socialist model. So recognizing the fact that what was the normal at the southern border is no longer the normal. And but by the way, I want to throw something in here as well. I was listening to, I don't recall who I was listening to. We were talking, or I was listening about socialism, and a statement was made. The socialists, the democratic socialists, the people with the money here in the United States and worldwide, basically. It's not the fact that they like socialism to the extent that they hate money or they hate capitalism. They hate your money and your capitalism. They want it all. So think of the southern border. And the reason I brought that up now is think of the southern border as in that context, okay? Because this goes back to the gates of the walls, the fences, whatever, around Obama and around Pelosi and Schumer and everyone else. Of course, what's good for them, or what's acceptable for them, is not acceptable for us. So they are the exception. We are not worthy of what they have. So when you take that and apply this to the southern border, think about it in that sense. So we're no longer, the southern border is no longer what it was even 2-3 years ago, and let alone a half a century ago. But that said, the funding that's required, even at the $5.7 billion or $5 billion mark, is not even close to what's required today. And that encompasses not just a physical barrier, but it also encompasses border security. And that also goes to include interior security, getting rid of those people already in the country. So let's go over some facts and some figures. These are from the Customs and Border Patrol, a number of government reports, plain and simple. Consider the issues here, all right? When you look at the criminals entering into this country, and what defines a criminal, someone with a criminal record, obviously. So last year, we had 17,000 adults at the southern border alone who had existing criminal records. They were arrested by the Customs and Border Protection agencies and border agents, all right? 17,000. So again, if you want to write these numbers down for talking points as a matter of resource, this comes from the CBP directly. In fiscal year 2018, 17,000 criminals were apprehended by Border Patrol agents at the southern border, 17,000, and that's rounded. I believe that's rounded down. In the year before, as well as the fiscal year 2018, Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers arrested about 235,000 aliens on criminal charges or convictions within the interior of the United States. And as I said yesterday during the program, when I'm talking about the interior, there's a 100 or two, what is that ring around the border where it's the Border Patrol has the they can act and they've got the authority. Well, this is outside of that or inside of that ring. So in the interior of the United States, you're looking at well over a quarter, well, about a quarter of a million, I shouldn't say well over, about a quarter of a million aliens have, were arrested by Immigration Customs Enforcement officers on various criminal charges or convictions. And of that quarter of a million, roughly 100,000 were for charges of violence or convictions of violence. And of that quarter of a million, you also had right around 30,000 arrested for sexual crimes, rape, child trafficking, lewdness. That's at the very bottom, of course. So 30,000 out of the quarter of a million arrested in the interior of the United States. Places like Tulsa, Oklahoma, for example, nowhere near a border. Or Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'm using these as examples only. Arrested for sexual crimes. 30,000 already here in the United States, well beyond the border protection. 4,000 criminals arrested for murder, for homicides. 4,000. So let's recap here. Last year, 17,000 adults having criminal arrest records were arrested by Customs and Border Protection agents at the border. 17,000. In the 2 years that encompassed 17 and 2018, ICE officers arrested about a quarter of a million aliens inside the interior, within the interior of the United States. And of that quarter of a million, roughly, about 100,000 were arrested for crimes of violence, such as assault, assault with intent, and so on. 30,000 for sexual crimes. That's a big number, including child and human sex trafficking, 30,000. And 4,000, these numbers are rounded, for murder, for homicide. Now, these numbers are accurate, and these are factual, and no one wants to talk about this. So how many people are coming across the southern border right now? And why the southern border and not the northern border? Although we do have issues at the northern border, the bulk is coming from the southern border. This is the current battlefront. So what's going on now? We've got about 60,000 illegal aliens per month coming through our southern border. And do you know what? Many, many, if not most, are have been deported before. Or have, of that deported before, for example, once an illegal alien attempts or gets caught crossing the border illegally, the agencies, the federal agencies, they put a moratorium on, well, you can't come in this country now for 2 years, 5 years, whatever it might be. Yet these are repeat offenders. So on average, 60,000 illegal aliens coming from other countries are coming into the United States on a monthly basis right as we speak, that we know of, and they're not supposed to be coming here, period. Now, other than the fact that they're illegals to begin with and crossing illegally, they're already guilty of being of crossing illegally before or having prohibitive activity or activity that would prohibit them from entry into the United States legally. And when you consider last month, more than 20,000 minors were smuggled into the United States. Now think about, just think about the ramifications, the long-term ramifications about that. And people talk about, well, you know, you can go through the immigration courts, and I know Conservative Trias did a case on this, or did a report on this. You've got the backlog of, and we've talked about this before, I've mentioned this, the when I attended the Federation on American Immigration Reform, that conference in Washington, D.C., given the stack of information, this unbelievable amount of information, the current backlog right now for immigration court, you got almost a million cases backlogged. You think, so what happens is, in a case of, we'll say, asylum or assessing your admissibility into the United States, there's a court date assigned, but you're one of, what, some well over 800,000 in a very limited number of judges, a number of open courts. So your court date might not be for a year. Meanwhile, you're in this country, by law, waiting a court date, and chances are they will never show up. So multiply that, use the numbers and consider that number is growing based on the numbers I just gave you. You're looking at an increase, and this is extremely critical for people to understand, especially when we talk about, or the politicians talk about asylum. The percentage increase in political or plain asylum cases over the last 5 years has increased by 2,000%. And where is this coming from? Where is this originating from? Is it from communist China? Is it from some communist oppressive country, Russia? Whatever. No. It's coming from Central America. And think back to what I said yesterday on yesterday's program pertaining to the Immigration and Nationality Act of 1965. When the quotas were changed, when the doors were just flung open for people from third world countries, including but not limited to, well, Mexico and Central and South America, but specifically the Central American countries. So right now, the asylum claims, as we've seen at the southern border, are coming through or coming from, they're originating in Central America. Okay, so why is that? Is it because you've got a bunch of Central Americans suddenly realizing that, hey, I need asylum, I need political asylum, or I'm going to get killed? No, they're gaming the system. How are they gaming the system? They are being coached, in many cases, by charities, by NGOs, here in the United States, many from Chicago, many associated with religious organizations, who actually get paid by, you know, per head, maybe 1,000 or so per head to bring people in. And that money does not reach the recipient or the intended recipient. They keep that money in many cases. Now, that's worthy of a program by itself, and I did identify some of the agencies involved in this, but you're looking at just a tremendous amount of money here in the people being coached on what to say to Border Patrol agents in order to have this air quote legitimacy to their claims of asylum, when in fact it's all bogus, or a lot of it is bogus. And you've got about 90% rejection rate. Ultimately, when it does get to court, the immigration courts, 90% rejection rate by the immigration courts when it finally gets to the court system. So these are all bogus claims, but who is coaching, or who are coaching these illegal aliens on this? You've got these social justice groups that are funded through the organizations, these leftist organizations. And people have to think bigger on this, I believe. This is all to change and to rip the fabric of this country and to change the complexion of this country. Contrary, by the way, to what people said back in 1965, and I keep going back to that because it's a very significant. In 1965, with immigration, I would equate that to this Obamacare business that took place, you know, in 2009, where it's not going to change anything. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. Things are just going to get better. the wool was pulled over many Americans, not yours, but many Americans' eyes, by the very same people, by the way, in some cases by the very same people, back in the 60s, which, again, organizationally and politically I'm speaking. So I guess what I'm saying to you is we've been lied to. We continue to be lied to. The media right now, they're nothing but mouthpieces for the globalists. And even Fox, to some extent, is going that direction. For example, Judge Napolitano saying, well, the President of the United States cannot declare a national emergency. Doesn't have the authority to do that. What's that all about? Well, I can guarantee you if Napolitano did not acquiesce and say, okay, you know, I'll say that because I'm a judge and, you know, somebody else would have. But it's so you've got this storm brewing, which I hope adds context to the idea that President Trump, and by the way, I've told my son this and I would urge everyone, make sure we pay respect to President Trump by using the title President Trump. I'm starting to cringe when I hear President Trump being referred to as Trump. Now, I'm okay with that on Obama, and I admit I'm duplicitous on that. I admit my duplicity because, in my view, Obama was not legitimate to begin with, but that's that aside. So titles are important in how we address the President of the United States, and in this case, President Donald Trump, of any president who's ever earned that title. He is, in my view, one of those individuals. But getting back to the topic, you are looking at a fight against the President of the United States, and really more importantly, against the people of the United States, because the objective here is to make sure that the white or Caucasian American. Now, I'm not being racist. I'm just stating a fact that the individual from Western European heritage, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Christian, the white Anglo-Saxon Jew, the white, the people from Western Europe who initially, at least back, you look back in history, and I'm speaking strictly from a historical context, those who settled into this country initially, they want to change the complexion and, of course, bring their here. And that what there is, of course, the third world countries to force the complexion, the change of complexion of the United States. Now, you might say, well, that's not a bad thing. Because people are people, regardless of the skin color. I agree. I totally agree. I am not saying skin color makes a difference here. What I am saying to you is there is this, and if anyone is being a racist, or any groups or individuals are being racist, it is the left who are doing this strictly on the basis of race alone to change the complexion. Race and the insurance that we as a nation will not be a cohesive, one country of many. No, it's going to be many in one place. That's their objective, of course, and that's to balkanize the United States. So, having said that, again, moving on with certain figures, because again, I think this is important for people to understand. Back in 2017, there were about 135 illegal and inadmissible family units, members of the same family, 135 families who were illegal and inadmissible, who arrived from Central America, and this is back in fiscal year 2017. So remember these numbers, and you might want to write them down. 135,000 illegal and inadmissible families arriving from Central America. But consider that less than 2% of those have been successfully removed from the country because of a shortage of resources. Only 2%. In other words, 135,000 illegal families came over into the United States back in 2017. they should be removed. But of that 135,000, merely 2% of the 135,000 have been removed. So we're losing ground on this issue. And so far this year, we've seen a 280%, almost really even higher, about a 280% increase in that number in families from 2018. So the humanitarian crisis that is discussed by the Democratic Socialist is one, it's made, it's artificially manufactured. Oh, and I should point out this. You want to talk about humanitarian crises. You know how a big deal was made of children dying while in the custody of Customs and Border Protection. Well, obviously, you know, I know that the deaths were caused not by something that was done here, but by the journey itself, or because they were brought in sick already, or whatever. But it's if there's any blood on anyone's hands, it's the coyotes, or it's the Democratic Socialists who have allowed and even promoted the influx. And you might get tired of me talking about this, but I think this is extremely important. But according to statistics, 1 in 3 of the individuals who are coming in these caravans and coming through our southern borders, 1 in 3 women are sexually assaulted during this journey. 33%. Think about that for a second. 33%. 1 in 3 women who are making this journey are assaulted during this journey to America. Now, you think Pelosi or Schumer give a damn about this? No, they are making this a political football. If there was a physical barrier and if the word got out, hey, you know what? You can try, but you're not coming in because of the border security that includes a wall. How many lives, how many women, the abuse of women, could be saved? So in this case, President Donald Trump has the high road in this. So the people holding the signs, the people who are tweeting mindlessly on Twitter, you got to be kidding me. They're either deliberately obtuse or ignorant, or maybe even both. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, they're disingenuous, they're ill-informed, or they're plain out nasty and evil. I don't know, or maybe all of the above. So I think we need to address that. I think you have to have those numbers to put things in perspective to see how bad it is, which resulted in President Donald Trump going to the nation last night saying, yeah, this is a crisis, and it's a big one. But even more delicious, and I'm not sure how many people heard this or if this was even aired in the media. Kellyanne Conway came out of the White House. This is in advance of President Trump's address. And she was talking about the meeting with Homeland Security Director Nielsen and others. All right, so picture this. She walks out into the cement area outside of the White House there. There is a gaggle of press corps there, including none other than Jim Acosta from CNN. Have you seen this, folks? Oh, this was just delightful. Absolutely delightful. Now, this is Kellyanne Conway, one of the, seriously, a very sweet young lady or a sweet lady, in my view anyway, having experience with her, a great person. And suddenly, after about four or five minutes of discussion or of making an address, there were some questions, of course, peppered in there. After about 5 minutes, Jim Acosta can't stop himself. He could not stop himself from embarrassing himself and his network. Have you heard this? If not, have a listen to this. Enjoy it. Replay it. Make sure everyone hears it. Listen to this. This is Kellyanne Conway. Well, this is Jim Acosta making a fool of himself and Kellyanne Conway's response. Here it is.
We want to make sure that our border is secure and that the government reopens, but they want it to be in the reverse order, which is not really a practical consideration.
Hey, Kellyanne, can you promise that the president will tell the truth tonight? Will he tell the truth?
Yes, Jim, can you promise that you will?
I will.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I'm not
Am I allowed to mention God to you? Make sure that goes viral.
Okay.
This is why, by the way, this is why I'm one of the only people around here who even gives you the time of day.
Can you guarantee?
And let me get back in your face because you're such a smart ass most of the time, and I know you want this to go viral. A lot of these people don't like you, but let me just be respectful to the media at large, as I always am. I explained that was alternative information, additional facts, and I explained it many times. And don't you put it back in my face for all the corrections that your network needs to issue. I was on your network 25 or 26 times in 2018. I'm one of the last people here who even bothered to go on. And the disrespect that you showed to me personally, I'll just look past.
Ma'am,
and don't call me ma'am to make it up.
Tonight.
That's why,
go ahead,
please, ma'am.
You said meeting with lawmakers tonight, Democrats and Republicans. Who's he meeting?
Tonight, the Vice President and Secretary Nielsen will be meeting, I believe it was made public, they'll be meeting up on Capitol Hill with the Republican conference. But remember, they'll meet with anybody who wants to meet with them. The Big Eight will come back here. I'll let our Legislative Affairs Office take that one. But obviously, the President is always happy to meet on this issue.
Kellyanne,
the statistics show that actually more suspected terrorists were apprehended at the northern border than the southern border. So why not declare a crisis there? Why the focus only on the southern border?
I just went through the whole drug thing, crisis that we're having. I know, it's understood, but you don't cover it enough compared to 72,000. We basically have an airplane falling from the sky every day filled with people dying from a drug crisis, and we're just going
to
blase our way out of it. Be a smart aleck.
This is a situation that's close enough to being declared a national emergency or being considered declaring a national emergency. Why doesn't the president support opening agencies that deal with national emergencies?
Say it again.
We're considering declaring this a national emergency.
Nobody said that. The president said he's looking at it, and he has his team looking at it.
But is he going to consider
figure out which president the president had talked to?
Fun lunch, wasn't it?
Did you figure out which previous president Mr. Trump had spoken to previously who said yes?
Anybody else? He's not talking to themselves.
Hey, Jim, do you enjoy talking to yourself? That was Kellyanne Conway putting Jim Acosta in his place. Pretty good, right? I would say. Oh, my goodness. And it just gets worse. And people wonder, for example, some people wonder why the fake news is called fake news. Just consider the disrespect there. The disrespect, it's obvious. And, well, there it is. It's for your own evaluation, interpretation, and assessment. My goodness. Now, in addition to Acosta saying, you know, is the president going to tell the truth? Can you guarantee the president's going to tell the truth? Again, we're fighting the memes, the narratives of the mainstream media, the fake news media, the Twitter, the people who live on Twitter and live to just defile President Donald Trump, defile his and to derail his attempts at securing our nation. You know, looking at, again, the southern border is the topic, and for the second day in a row, it's the topic, and it's necessary because this is what's driving the news cycle. But let's get into, and let's stay into facts. Since Acosta brought up, well, we got to talk about facts. And during that press conference, and I'm sure it's available somewhere on YouTube, during that press conference, there were other concerns about the northern border and about facts with respect to terrorists. And this is important now. And again, this broadcast, at least in my view, is meant to arm you with information. Because there are many on the left, most on the left, Democratic Socialists, who will insist on downplaying the threat from specifically from terrorism and specifically on America's southern border. To the extent that they insist that there's absolutely no threat from terrorists or terrorism activities associated with the insecure borders, period, plural, I suppose. But there is. A Muslim, and specifically a Muslim threat from south of the border. But it's not new. I've talked about this before. Many have talked about this before 9/11. It's real and it's multifaceted. You can, and in fact, the Center for Security Policy, they've got a good report out. It's called The Terror Threat on the Southern Border. It was published 2 days ago. It was published on Monday. The author is Christopher Holton. And the language here, of course, they're the essence of the article. The fact that border security is once again in front and center on the American political scene as it relates to the government shutdown and this impasse between Pelosi, Schumer, and all of the minions behind Pelosi and Schumer and against President Donald Trump and those foot soldiers on social media. Look, the author of this piece does state something very important. And that's this. Whenever the Mexican border is at the top of the news, it serves as a reminder that our southern border is nearly or almost completely unsecure. Now, consider the legal points of entry on the southern border. What, you got 25 or so? I believe it is. I'm not exactly 100% certain of that number. But you've got a lot of area that's just ripe for people to come across. All right. So anyway, again, many on the left insist on downplaying the threat from terrorism. But the author and this article, and I will again remind you that terrorism from the South is not new. And really, there's no way to accurately estimate how many Muslim terrorists have already crossed into the United States from Mexico. But stop playing politics with this issue. Secure the flipping border. And by the way, the call to action by the president last night, in case you missed it, contact your congressperson, congressman, period, congressman. Contact your congressman. Call them. There's the number, the switchboard number. Have them direct you to their to your congressperson, congressman, and say, look, do the right thing, secure the border, period. Be nice about it, but do it. Because that was a call to action during the speech, during President Trump's address to the nation. So, but what do we have here, aside from the Central American alleged asylum seekers? You've got OTMs, which is an acronym for, other than Mexicans, SIAs, which stands for, it's an acronym for Special Interest Aliens. And we're talking about individuals from 34 different nations, including but not limited to Iraq, Iran, Libya, Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, Somalia, Pakistan, Yemen. You know those countries where President Trump said, hey, we have to take another look at the individuals coming into this country from these locations. And, of course, some activist federal judge says, nah, you can't do that. Well, Mexicans attempting to enter the United States illegally, they're often simply processed at the border and sent back. But Mexico won't allow us to send citizens from other countries back through Mexico. So consider this. Here is an individual, and I'm using this as an example, from Iraq or Iran. And they come through the southern border. Can we send them back to Mexico? No. No, Mexico doesn't want them. They're not going to allow and have not allowed and won't allow us to send citizens from other countries back through Mexico. And guess what? Under U.S. law, they're entitled to a former deportation hearing. I spoke about deportation hearings earlier. The Immigration Service lacks beds to hold them. So what happens to these people? They're given a court date, released out to the wild, and say, hey, you know what? Come back in, I don't know, 6-8 months for your court date. What happens? They disappear. Did you know? Again, more information. From 2008 through 2010, an estimated 180,000 such individuals were believed to have crossed the border illegally. And during that very same time period, nearly 2,000, specifically now, 1,918 special interest aliens were apprehended at the border. And it's generally believed that for every illegal alien apprehended at the border, there are several who elude border security and are not apprehended. And as a matter of fact, there are some who provide, who will take one for the team. Meanwhile, others cross into this country with ill intent. And law enforcement sources in Arizona told the author of the article at the Center for Security Policy that it's become increasingly common for Muslims in Mexico to change their Islamic surnames to Hispanic-sounding names to facilitate moving across the border, writes the author at Center for Security Policy. Well, apologists claim this is to simply avoid discrimination. After all, if my name was Muhammad or Abdul, you wouldn't let me in. But it'd be, you know, hey, Chico is fine, or whatever, a Mexican name, or you know what I'm saying, right? So it's interesting, and this author points this out, and again, Center for Security Policy, Christopher Holton points this out, and this is very important because I don't believe in coincidences. There has been a noticeable proliferation of specifically Salafist mosques in Latin America since the early 1990s. And we're talking about the Wahhabist and Saudi-funded non-governmental organizations. For example, the World Assembly for Muslim Youth, WAMY, W-A-M-Y is the acronym for that. What's going on here? You got to ask yourself, is this all just serendipitous and coincidental? No. This is an attack on America. America has been and is being infiltrated. Not just, this is the other part of this, not just individuals from Central America, but let's look at the genuine terrorist threat that, of course, no one wants to talk about. Because you can't talk about the threat from Islamic terrorists, because then you're just what are you, an Islamophobe. And that's a made-up word, by the way. It doesn't exist, at least not in the proper lexicon. But, what are we seeing? We are seeing an invasion of the United States. Look, that number alone that I gave you, that number, 1,918 special interest individuals, that's a big number in a 2-year time period. And another 180,000 other than Mexicans, in addition to the 1,918 special interest aliens. And then, of course, you've got the increase in mosques throughout Central America. So what do we see taking place here in America, in the United States? We're seeing this infiltration complements of the southern border. Now, you might ask yourself, well, why not the northern border? Well, it's happening at the northern border, too, just not to the extent that's happening at the southern border. Why the southern border? Because the beachhead established by the Muslim terrorists or the fundamentalist Muslim organizations throughout Central America. Now, these are facts. This is not hyperbole this is just facts. These are just facts based on investigation done by both the government cited statistics as well as organizations that do a great job, like the Center for Strategic Policy. There's an infrastructure that has been built through Central America, because you've got one country, of course, to our north, that's Canada. You've got a multitude of countries and cultures, and also you've got the blending, I suppose would be a good word, of the Muslims, for example, Middle East, that blend better in the South than they would in the North. They'd be taking another look at the individuals from the North. All right. Or should they come through the North? Now, border enforcement personnel report that the Mexican Army, I should add this as well. You talk about infrastructure. They have, in fact, provided surveillance and cover for traffickers. Consider that when we talk about infrastructure. So there's an infrastructure that has been put in place, not just over the last couple of years, but over the last couple of decades. Remember that document that was found during the Holy Land Foundation trial about how the Muslims intended to take down the United States? Well, this is all part of a bigger plan. And believe me, there is, when you've got people like Hillary Clinton, George Soros, and others who don't care about the United States of America, they care about self-enrichment, they care about power, they care about their own socialist communist agendas. They don't care how things get done. They don't care how a country gets destroyed from within. They just want it done. And this is all part of how they're doing it. So you go back, and even globalists, globalists such as George W. Bush. Yes, I'm mentioning him. You may like him. Look, he might just be a dupe, all right? But the bottom line is nothing has been done to stop this. Now, in the article at the Center for Security Policy, if I misstated that before, I apologize. consider this. The anecdotal evidence of jihadist activity on the southern border over the years. There's a section in there, and I'll link in the program description box. But there was this infamous undated video where a Muslim cleric in Kuwait, Abdullah Al Nafsi, in a sermon in his mosque, said that there's no need for airplanes and planning. One man with the courage to carry a suitcase of anthrax. Remember this? Through the tunnels from Mexico to the U.S. could kill some 330,000 Americans in an hour. Oh, this is being made up, right? In June of 2004, U.S. Border Patrol arrested 77 Middle Eastern men attempting to cross the border illegally into the United States from Mexico. In that same year, in October, U.S. intelligence officials received reports that 25 Chechens had crossed in from Mexico into Arizona. And I could go on. January 05, by the way, two Hamas operatives known to our intelligence community. Oh, wait, who was head of FBI in 05? That would be, let me think. Don't tell me. Robert Mueller. Yeah. And who was, well, you get the idea. But in January of 05, you had two Hamas operatives. They were arrested as part of a criminal enterprise in Los Angeles. And guess what was found? Guess what was determined? It was determined that both came into the United States after paying a smuggler $10,000 each to take them across the border, the southern border. And I could go on and on and on. This is not merely anecdotal evidence. This is evidence, I contend, of a conspiracy. And it's part of the larger conspiracy to take down the United States. So here's the takeaway from today's program. You've got President Trump, again, as we always remind people, he was never supposed to assume the presidency. Now he's, of course, the president. He's doing the best he can possibly do amid a group of backstabbers and people he can't trust. And yeah, it'd be one thing to say to fire everybody, and it sounds easier than what it is. So here's the president talking plainly to the American people, saying we have a problem here. And he's doing everything in his power to stick to the way of the Constitution, the spirit and the letter of the Constitution. And I was kind of expecting him to declare a national emergency yesterday, but he didn't do that. And in fact, I believe he's going out of his way to abide by the rule of law or the spirit of the law and show the American people that, look, it's the democratic socialists who are the lawbreakers, adhering to a standard of lawfulness. But having said that, you've got everyone around him, including the rhinos, who are attempting to take him down while he's attempting to protect not just, protecting himself, but also protecting the United States. And that means you and I. That means the normal people, people who don't live in multi-gazillion dollar mansions with armed security and where the laws apply to us, but not them. So this southern border is more than just it's about more than just a wall. It's about more than just refugees from impoverished Central American nations. This battlefront is even bigger than we have been told and we can imagine. So, and I had mentioned this, I think it might have been yesterday. I'll mention this again. When I had spoken to some people, this is years ago now, who found prayer rugs and Qurans down at the southern border. I was skewered by members on various conservative websites and forums and such. But you know what? Look, it's being proved true. It was true then. It's true now. It was restricted information back then. Now it's becoming more mainstream. The fact of the matter is we've been sounding the alarm bell. I've been sounding the alarm bell for years now. But understand that the southern border is not just about a wall. It's about changing the entire complexion of the United States. And it's about the destruction of the United States as we know it. It's about taking us down as a constitutional republic and replacing this and replacing our country with a globalist and to some extent a compatible or a theocracy where the God would be the God of communist socialism and compatible with the Islamic doctrine, of course, of oppression. But the big thing is they've got to get rid of Donald Trump, which brings me to the future programs that we're going to be talking about, the renewed efforts now to go after your guns and to continue to silence the conservatives, the constitutionalists on social networking and all across the internet. And in addition to silencing us, taking away our ability to make money or survive, I shouldn't say make money, but simply survive by taking away our payment gateways, to take away our ability to conduct commerce on the internet. And it's gotten to that point and it's only going to get worse. That's what's taking place right now. That's what's ramping up right now. And of course, they're doing it. And don't look at this as just, again, don't look at this as just Central Americans. Look at the Islamic component to it, the terrorist component to it, which really few will talk about or say it's overstated or hyped up. But when you look at the actual figures from CBP or ICE or others, and you find out and you start peeling back the layers, and you can and look at the explosion of the mosques all across the United States. I'm not saying they're all started by illegal aliens, but what I'm saying is a lot of the activities at these locations, which I consider beachheads within our nation, well, hey, it's beginning to make sense, isn't it? If you like what you heard, please tell others about this program. Follow me on Twitter at HagmanPI. And of course, our main show, The Hagman Report, follow our main show at Hagman Report on Twitter. Make sure you pass this, post this show. Tell others about this program. Hey, thanks for so much for listening. May God bless you until night. God bless.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report.
Tune in to the Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.